All right, good afternoon. Listen, I have printed out the Foramen of the Skull Part 2 handout. There are printouts right here if you want one. I have pipe cleaners. Does anybody want a pipe cleaner? You can get a pipe cleaner. And I brought some extra skulls. If you want a skull, you come and you can sign out for it. And promise to give it back. You guys, this is the same way yourself, John. I apologize. I don't have secretaries.
Can I sign out a skull also?
Yes. Just put your name down, okay? That way I know that you just want me to
have two hands. Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Zoom.
Look, I'm gonna make this reasonably swift because of the fact that a lot of this is review, but on the other hand, I want you to look at it from a different viewpoint than you've looked at it before. And then when we come to the infratemporal fossa, life gets complicated, okay? So just follow me, but the initial stages of this are essentially going to be go and look at, so that we're all on the same page about it, we're gonna quickly review where the foramina are on the inside of the skull, okay? So just take your pipe cleaner and point it to the correct location as we go along. And you already know where these things are. And what we're going to do is just then look at it from the other side. But just to make sure we're on the same page, you know where foramen rotundum is? Virtually everybody got this right. You look on the floor of the middle cranial fossa right here, right below the superior orbital fissure, and that's foramen rotundum for B2. Yes? You got a question? Raise your hand. And I will come and talk to you. Next, you got next to that, posterior to it on the floor, you got the nice oval-shaped foramen, it's foramen ovale, and the one there next to that is foramen spinosum. If you look at foramen spinosum on my skull, it has very nice grooves, as it does on this picture right here. You can see the pictures, grooves for the middle meningeal artery, yeah? And so foramen ovale is actually for V3 plus the accessory meningeal artery. And so I am now reading to you what this handout says. It said foramen rotundum is for V2, foramen ovale is for V3 plus the accessory meningeal artery, and foramen spinosum is for the middle meningeal artery plus the nodus spinosus. Is that okay? Okay, then we go back and we're going to go look at the internal auditory meatus. The internal auditory meatus is in the posterior cranial fossa. I said it's, people did so well on the practical, it's essentially just an exercise. And that's easy because you drop down and the thing that you see is 7 and 8, yeah? Then you go down and the gigantic foramen below that is the jugular foramen, and that's for 9, 10, and 11, yeah? And now the one down below that and close to the canal all the way on the anterior side is the hypoglossal canal, okay? And then below that is foramen magnum. And then I will come back to the carotid canal. Okay, is that all right? Yes? So, okay, now we're gonna start looking at it from the other side, all right? And now I will take more time. I'm assuming that everybody remembers these, yes? Yeah? Okay. You got any questions? Raise your hand. if not plugging away.
Should the mandibles be on?
No, I don't need the mandibles on right now. In fact, they're better off not, because I want you to be able to see it. But on the other hand, if you have a mandible handy, you can go see where things used to be. Everybody got this view, right? View from below. All right, now the key thing you see is what I've been telling you repeatedly is that your skull ends in the top of your mouth, right? The palate is the top of the skull. The hard palate is the anterior part of the palate. And what happens is that that's the maxillary bone and the anterior part here, and it's housing the maxillary teeth, which are the upper teeth. So the hard palate, if you look at it, has in it a very nice suture in the midline, and then it has a nice suture across. And typically you see this very clearly on them. Can you see what I'm talking about? There's a suture across right there. And the part that's anterior to the suture is the maxillary bone, and part that's posterior to that suture is the palatine bones. And it's called the palatine process of the maxillary bone and the horizontal plate of the palatine bone. Okay? So now, you come back down, and now you drop down. And this is the view that I keep on showing that's so confusing. Just tilt the skull away from you, and you're looking into the nasal cavity from the back. That's what this is. These are the posterior openings of the nasal cavity right here. See here and here, yeah? And on the sides of the posterior openings of the nasal cavity, and we would now be in the nasopharynx, are these plates. And this plate is called the medial pterygoid plate, and that's called the lateral pterygoid plate. Can you find those for me? On each side, the symmetrical, yes? Now, if you haven't had them bumped off, the medial pterygoid plate should have a prominent little hook right on the end of it, on the medial pterygoid plate, and this is called the hamulus of the medial pterygoid plate. Can you identify that? Mine's kind of worn out on this one. Anybody, can you see what I'm talking about?
Hold on a second.
Oh yeah, no, it's got one on this side here if you want to see one. Look, it sticks out like a point right here. See the point? Right there? This is called the hamulus of the medial pterygoid plate. So look, the plates are the medial pterygoid plate and the lateral pterygoid plate. And if you got one, the hamulus right here is the little hook. It's on the inferior posterior margin of the medial pterygoid plate. Yes? Can you understand where it ought to be? Yes? Even if it isn't there. The hamulus is how it is that the tensor pilate muscle works. Remember this? The tensor pilate muscle is actually taking order from the auditory tube, which, believe it or not, is located right posterior to this right here. This is essentially the opening of the nasopharynx right here. And the hamulus is what happens. So you see the edge of the bone right here? Where the hard palate ends, that is where the soft palate begins. Yes? So hard palate is up here, anterior to this edge, and soft palate, which is the most complicated thing to figure out, dangles down from this right here. And so the muscles of the soft palate are all located in this space. The tensor levator just comes from the auditory tube straight to this and lifts it. The tensor comes and hooks over this hamulus and then pulls from side to side like this, pulling out, and that tenses the palate. And so tensing and levating the palate is what you do when you're going to be able to seal off the nasal cavity. See if you can figure it out, because this is actually what I'll show you this more, and go back and look at the slides so far as the muscles go. In any case, the landmark you need to know is the hamulus of the medial pterygoid plate, which is a hook on the end of it. Okay? All right, so we got medial and lateral pterygoid plates. Now for orientation, you see where the external auditory meatus is right here, like that? Okay? Now, next thing, I want you to go down and follow the lateral pterygoid plate. And as you follow the lateral pterygoid plate down to the skull, you should see an oval-shaped foramen and a little opening right next to it. Can you find that? And if you put the pipe cleaner through the oval-shaped foramen and look on the inside, you should be in foramen ovale. And if you look at the little round thing on the other side, they all end up in foramen spinosum. Can you see where we are? All right, I want you to be able to identify this from the inferior side, because this is the side that you will be able to understand the infratemporal fossa from. So this is exactly the same thing as I was telling you otherwise. Foramen ovale still has, from this side, the same thing. It's V3 plus the accessory meningeal artery. And then as you're coming and over laterally, you have the foramen spinosum, which is the middle meningeal artery and the nervous spinosus. Yeah? This is how V3 is going to come out. This is why it looks so strange. If you go in with a skull, you will realize that where we are now is in what I was describing as the infratemporal fossa. So this is how V3 is going to get down to the mandible is coming out of this opening right here. So that's foramen spinosum and foramen ovale. What I look for is I look for the lateral pterygoid plate. Go down to the lateral pterygoid plate, go out from there, and there should be a nice round oval-shaped opening from there. That's ovale. Then I look for the little dot next to it, and that's the foramen spinosum. Is that okay? Yes. I'm reciting to you the parameter that will be on the practical exam, right? Remember me, I'm the one that tells you all the answers. I am telling you all the answers to all the questions. Yes? Okay, so foramen, ovale, and spinosum. By the way, if you look at this, this is actually, the spinosum is named, some of them have a little knob in this. Can you see a little bump where the foramen spinosum is? Sometimes it's there. The little bump is called the spine of the sphenoid. That's where spinosum gets its name. I have a nice one if anybody wants to see it. Want to see a spine of the sphenoid? Here. Sam, you want to? See the knobbing that's right there?
Okay.
Sometimes it's built into it. But yeah, you got a bump right there.
Oh, just like right here?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's all there is. It's called the spine of the sphenoid. All right? Okay. Next is the auditory tube, and I'm not going to ask you about the auditory tube, okay? Because we covered it last time. It's one of those things. We'll just let it go. But what you need to know next is the carotid canal. So you got to find me. You go look just posterior to where we are. Now, posterior here, can you see that? Look at the diagram here. You see the bone that's pink here? That's all the sphenoid bone, yeah? And you come back here, this is all the temporal bone in yellow. So you go straight back from ovale. I look for ovale by the lateral pterygoid plate. Then I go straight back posterior to it, and I have this nice round opening. And the round opening is going to immediately turn and go forward. You got it? And that's the carotid canal. So the carotid canal is the opening for the internal carotid artery and the sympathetic plexus that surrounds the artery. Does that sound correct to you? Right, because the sympathetics, remember the pathway out T1 and T2, ascend up the chain, synapse in the superior cervical ganglion, and are distributed by God's gift to medical students, which are called what? Or anybody's gift to medical students. I don't want to necessarily make this anything that's biased to any religious belief. Yeah, unnamed branches. Unnamed branches that are distributed by branches around the artery. So the internal carotid artery at this point has surrounding it the sympathetic plexus, and that's how it gets into the skull. Now, take your pipe cleaner and go into the skull, and where it comes out. Now, on the inside, so if you found my opening and you go through it, you will end up inside of the skull. Where you are seeing the pipe cleaner inside of the skull, that point is the foramen lacerum. Yes? Okay? So the opening of the carotid canal on the inside is called the foramen lacerum. Is that all right? Yes? Okay. You got questions, just come up and ask me. Okay, now, very rarely do we have anything of a styloid process left. Look at that crack, and you might see something, you actually see something broken off here. It typically looks like it's kind of in between where it is that the carotid canal is, and actually you go towards the mastoid process over here. So I have a broken one here. Let me see if I got any that are intact in the collection that I have. Anybody got a nice styloid process? No, I think most of the ones that I got are broken. In the cadavers, if you go in and look at one of the prosections and put your finger up toward where the styloid process is, the length in the cadaver is about 1.25 inches. So it's actually this little spicule of bone that sticks down from the temporal bone. It's actually called the styloid process of the temporal bone. Yeah? And just to jog your memory, there are three muscles that take origin from the styloid process. Can you name them for me? Stylopharyngeus, stylohyoid, and what? Styloglossus, okay? What's the cranial nerve that innervates the stylohyoid muscle? Facial. Very good, 7. What's the innervation of the stylopharyngeus muscle? This nerve innervates only one muscle, and that is the stylopharyngeus. 9. Glossopharyngeus. That is glossopharyngeal. Thank you so much. And what? So, stylopharyngeus, stylohyoid. How about the styloglossus? What's styloglossus innervated by? 12. Yeah. 3 muscles, 3 cranial nerves. It makes an interesting question, don't you? All right. So, whether you have a styloid process or just a broken off remnant of the mere shadow of one, look at the styloid process, look at the mastoid process. Can you get oriented to this? And there should be a foramen that is right between them, and that is called the stylomastoid foramen. And if you put the pipe cleaner in this foramen, it will look like it sticks straight up at you. So on the practical, you're not going to be able to see it. You're going to be able to see it looking like this, okay? It sticks straight up at you, and this is called the stylomastoid foramen. And the stylomastoid foramen is the exit point for what? The facial nerve. So this is how the facial nerve comes out. Is it comes out by the mastoid process. You go look at Dr. Roa's dissection, you will see that it comes out right here and then it just hooks immediately and enters into the parotid, right? And then it gives off its 5 branches. Then it goes temporal, zygomatic, buccal, mandibular, cervical, all within the structure of the parotid. But the important thing about the style of Mastoid for Raymond. So look at these slides. This is from the lectures, okay? Just bear with me for a minute. This is what I said I wanted to cover. So 7 is the facial nerve, leads by the internal auditory meatus, and then it has all these branches that are inside the bone, yeah? So it has these branches. It's called the greater petrosal nerve. It's parasympathetic, and then it also has visceral sensory. There's the pedius, the pedial nerve I already went into. That's responsible for hyperacusis, so the increased sensitivity to sound. And then the chorda tympani actually comes out while it's in the bone right here. And so all of the complexity of the facial nerve is occurring inside of the temporal bone by these dinky branches that are leaving by these complex pathways. So what happens is by the time you come to the stylomastoid foramen, which you see right here, yes, the facial nerve, which started out having all these different types of neurons in it, only has the motor to the muscles of facial expression. Okay? What kind of motor is this? Branchial motor, yeah? So here comes the observation. It's called differential diagnosis of the problems with the facial nerve. If you have a tumor, or like it's called an acoustic neuroma or acoustic neuronoma, I've actually raised this in the past, which is actually at the internal auditory meatus, it can compress 7 and 8, right? 8 is for hearing, so the person could have auditory deficits. They could have deficits in terms of balance. So an acoustic neuronoma or neuroma is going to have damage to 7 and 8. And because 7 is just entering right now, it will have all the components of a cranial nerve 7 damage. The whole collection of it has facial paralysis, loss of taste to the anterior two-thirds of the tongue, hyperacusia, the sound too loud, particularly the sound of your own voice, decrease in secretion of the lacrimal gland. Can you remember the lacrimal gland is innervated by 7? As well as the salivary glands. The salivary glands that are innervated by 7 are the submandibular and sublingual salivary glands. So 7 is just this minefield of all of these symptoms that what happened. But all of those branches are occurring inside the bone. By the time you get to the stylomastoid foramen, it doesn't do anything else but temporal, zygomatic, buccal, mandibular, cervical, to motor, to muscles of facial expression. So, remember what I said this morning? The facial nerve passes through the parotid gland, yeah? So we have a parotid tumor. One of the signs of a parotid tumor could be a facial paralysis. But that facial paralysis will only be motor paralysis. It won't have all the rest of the stuff of 7. When you have the damage inside here, you're going to get a facial paralysis with all the other symptoms, like loss of taste, like, you know, sound too loud, all of the things that would be a Bell's palsy. So the anatomy of it such is that a tumor in the parotid gland produces only facial paralysis, not loss of taste, not hyperacusia, no decretion in secretion, and no vestibular auditory deficits. Look, you're about to become neurologists. Once your career starts as a neurologist, what you get paid for and what the nature of neurology is, the game is called, where is the lesion? So you get the symptoms, and now you're going to have to figure out where the lesion is. This is a lesion that's affecting the facial nerve, and what happens is that you get all kinds of things that are central that are going to affect it, but clearly one of the things that can be a difference is that a tumor in an acoustic neuroma, which we'll come back to, by the way, in the course of the next 2 weeks, is going to have all these symptoms from affecting 7 and 8. This is a relatively unique place because 7 and 8 come together with one another. So you will have not only the facial paralysis, but hearing losses, yes? But the other way somebody shows up with a facial paralysis could be that you are having a parotid tumor and it's swelling inside of the parotid, and like it's a compartment syndrome, I said, it compresses the facial nerve. You compress the facial nerve, you're going to get a motor paralysis here, but you test taste, it's going to be okay. Because taste is, but the branch comes off inside the bone. It's this crazy thing called the chorda tympani. Crosses across the tympanic membrane, does this wandering across, and like it's like but it's totally separate from this. So this is a differential diagnosis of damage to the facial nerve, and I raise this because this has shown up on the boards in the past. Okay? All right, that was my addition to this. All right, so all of that was the stylomastoid foramen. So you're going to be able to tell me stylomastoid foramen, if we got a paralysis, if we got a tumor there, what happens with the stylomastoid foramen? It would be just facial paralysis, okay? All right, next. Come back and find for me what it is the jugular foramen looks like from this side. The reason I'm doing this, by the way, is that people get these things wrong on the practical, and I really don't understand why. But it looks like this gigantic hole that's right behind it from this side. It's right behind the carotid arteries. So look, in front of it is the carotid canal. Behind it is the jugular foramen. You remember the carotid sheath? The carotid sheath goes up and attaches to the base of the skull. So the carotid opening is just right in front of, or somewhat medial to, the opening for the internal jugular vein, right? The whole body is composed of parts that fit together. Okay. And the jugular foramen is the opening for a number of cranial nerves, and so this is the base of the brain, the base of the skull syndrome collection. And that's what you need to know, is that a jugular foramen tumor could affect 9, 10, and 11, and also compromise the internal jugular vein. All right, so this is the way this will come back to you. Just be able to identify this on the practical. The main thing about it, and what will help you, is just go look at one side to the other side. If you're going to have difficulties with it, if the pipe cleaner is going through the foramen and you can't see it, go look at the opposite side, and it will be symmetrical, generally, and it will be not blocked by a pipe cleaner. Okay? All right, so that's jugular foramen from this side. And the hypoglossal canal. Now look at the hypoglossal canal. Can you see this? These things that are called the occipital condyles? Yeah? You see the occipital condyles? You got to be anterior to the occipital condyles. So there can be other things that are called condylar canals that are actually for veins posterior to it. But if you look from this side, go take the pipe cleaner and put it through. It'll look like the pipe cleaner is passing underneath the occipital condyles. Can you see what I am talking about? Yes? All right? Look, there's a general rule, which is that all the cranial nerves leave the skull. If you take a line drawn between the mastoid processes right here, all the cranial nerves leave anterior to that. Okay, just look at the skull. You see it's true. You draw a line between the mastoid processes right here, and all the cranial nerves lead anterior to that line. All right? So I want you to be able to identify this, because this is a view that you'll have on the practical exam. All right, the last thing I need to do is the infratemporal fossa, and this is reasonably complicated. So go back to the inside. You got any questions? Yes? No? Please? No? All right. I'm enthusiastic. I don't mean to be intimidating or yelling at you yet. I'll yell at you next week. Go take your pipe cleaner and put it through foramen rotundum. And then turn the skull and look at it from the side like this. And you should see this part, which is really the complications of life. Can you see what I'm talking about? Take the pipe cleaner, put it through foramen rotundum on the inside, and then go look back to the lateral side, and you will see that you will see the tip of the pipe cleaner. And because the pipe cleaner is through foramen rotundum, it is following the path of V2. Yes? V2 is the maxillary division of the trigeminal nerve. So the maxillary division of the trigeminal nerve comes out and it just dead ends in this little space. And the space that it's entering into, that little room, is called the tergopalatine fossa. And so that's on the list right here as far as, I believe, tergomaxillary fissure and tergopalatine fossa. Now I got tergomaxillary fissure entering into tergopalatine fossa. Okay.
What's the
Okay, now watch the terminology right here. Okay, look at the lateral view. Can you see the zygomatic arch? Yes? Yes, can you see the zygomatic arch? Can you see the lateral pterygoid plate? Yes? Can you see the posterior side of the maxillary bone right here on the other side? Can you see a slit that is in between the lateral pterygoid plate and the posterior side of the maxillary bone right here? Yes? That slit is called the pterygomaxillary fissure. So the slit itself, now look, this is my diagram. Okay, here's the, look at this. So we look at the lateral pterygoid plate, we look at the posterior side of the maxillary bone, we look at the slit, and now this is my diagram that I call tooth, tooth, tooth. What this diagram represents is the last three, the maxillary molar teeth, right here like this. Okay, so now this is the tooth, tooth, tooth diagram, which has on it labeled tooth, tooth, and tooth. So what happens here is that here's the maxillary bone. It comes up like this, and then it comes down like this, and you can see that was one of my diagrams because this is me drawing the lateral pterygoid plate right here. Okay? Now look at the terminology. The slit between the maxillary bone and the lateral pterygoid plate, the slit is called the pterygomaxillary fissure. The space that the pterygoid, so that's like the door frame, yeah? The door frame is the fissure. The space that it leads to is called the pterygopalatine fossa. So the space called the pterygopalatine fossa is like the room behind the door frame. And this, the slit's called the pterygomaxillary fissure, and this makes sense because it's between the posterior side of the maxillary bone, which holds the teeth, which is why the diagram is called tooth, tooth, tooth. And then posteriorly, there's the lateral pterygoid plate, so it's called pterygomaxillary fissure. And the space that it leads to is the pterygopalatine fossa. Now, look at this. Look what has the diagram. And if you look at the skull right here now, take your pipe cleaner and put it through foramen ovale. You want something that's revealing. Go take your pipe cleaner and put it through foramen ovale. Now look at it from the lateral side here. You see where we are? V3 is coming out right behind the lateral pterygoid plate. You like this? Yes? Everything makes sense. Everything fits together. V3 is called the mandibular division of the trigeminal nerve. The mandibular division is motor to the muscles of mastication. The muscles of mastication of the medial group are called the medial and lateral pterygoid muscles. They take origin from the lateral pterygoid plate. Look what is immediately anterior to the foramen ovale. Yes? The body is really cool because all of these little parts fit together and they actually work. All right? Okay. And so foramen spinosum is right behind that from this standpoint right here. And that's the value of this diagram. If you can draw this, you can reproduce the whole thing. The other thing that you might look for is look at this. You see the pterygomaxillary fissure. If you go and follow it up right here, from the lateral viewpoint here, you'll go into the inferior orbital fissure. Look, and I have a hard time getting a picture that will show this. But if you follow this up like this and then go up right there, you're going to be in the inferior orbital fissure, like here. So you will actually be able to see like the infraorbital nerve. Remember the infraorbital nerve? The branch that is off of from the, you know where the infraorbital foramen is in the front of the skull right here? It's from the base, from the inside of the orbit. That's a branch of V2. So the way the branches of V2 are going to come out of the pterygopalatine fossa, go into the inferior orbital fissure, and then they go out and get distributed that way to below the orbit. Okay, so now, so the pterygomaxillary fissure leads to the pterygopalatine fossa, and the pterygomaxillary fissure has branches of V2, the trigeminal nerve, and also the branches of the third part of the maxillary artery. That's where we are. It's this little slit is how it is that all of this complexity is coming out, and I will show you why and what it is that's amazing about it. Of course, the pterygopalatine fossa, part of this handout was once called All Roads Lead to the Pterygopalatine Fossa, and I'll show you why. Here's the picture where I did find it. Can you see what I was talking about? Here's the pterygo maxillary fissure. And if you tilt the skull right, you can actually see the inferior orbital fissure. Can you see what I'm talking about? Yes. This is V2. All right? So all of this stuff here, this is how the nerves from V3 and V2 are coming out and how they're getting distributed. All right. And that's the infraorbital foramen from that side. Look, this is the, remember the infraorbital nerve? I talked about this and I just started going through it yesterday, so this is not very fair. But here's V2 coming out right here. Here is the slit right here. And what happens here is that the nerves, like the infraorbital nerve, are going to get distributed and they're going to go and come out onto the face here. And it turns out that it also gives rise to branches that are going to go down and innervate the teeth. But what happens in the same thing with the infraorbital artery. Now look on the posterior side of the maxillary bone. And this is now, I'm actually going through the foramen, back to the foramen in order here. Look on the posterior side of the maxillary bone. And this is sometimes really hard to see, but I got a couple of nice ones right here. Look, you see what I'm talking about the maxillary teeth, tooth right here, the last maxillary molar teeth. Look above that on the posterior side of the maxillary bone. Do you have little pock marks or holes on your thing? Can you find me some holes? Yes? And these little holes right here are called the posterior superior alveolar foramina. You got it? They're called the posterior superior alveolar foramina. And I have them. I mean, I could pass it around easier than I could do anything else. I have all nice little dot ones right here. If you want to see them, come up and I'll show it to you. I mean, if you want to see them, come on. Sometimes they look like just little dots. Sometimes they look like actually single nerves. What happens is that what this is how the nerves get to the upper teeth. And so what you have here, look at the diagram. So the nerves are going to come down and they're going to end and they disappear into the bone, because remember, like the mandible has a canal in it, and then the canal is actually how it is the nerves are going to get to the teeth and also get to your chin. So the maxillary teeth are the same way. It comes down here like this and then it enters into the canal in the bone. And that's going to get distributed. So it's the posterior superior alveolar nerve comes from its own nerve branch off of V2. The anterior superior alveolar is actually a branch from the infraorbital nerve. Now, do you remember this that I told you from the diagnosis of maxillary sinus infections? You have a clogged sinus infection. You push on the bone right here. If it's completely clogged from draining, what happens is the person is going to feel acute pain and they'll feel it from their teeth. It'll feel like all their teeth hurt. And that's because of the fact that you can compress the wall of these things are in the wall of the sinus. They're passing through the bone. You can compress the nerves by pressing on a closed maxillary sinus. Yeah? So this actually can increase the pressure enough to cause them pain. So this is how you could distinguish between having someone who has a toothache versus someone who has a maxillary sinus infection, which you as a doctor would have to be dealing with. Is that okay? So look, make sure you can identify these little openings. If you can't see them, I will actually go around. Can you want to see a posterior superior alveolar foramen? Anybody want to see me go and show you this? They're little dots. This is very unimpressive. Can you see these little openings right there? Yes? Anybody else want to see this? Can you see these little openings right here? On the posterior side, look, right there? That's how the nerves are. And so it's called the posterior superior alveolar nerves, yeah? And there are corresponding arteries that are branches from the maxillary artery that are called the posterior superior alveolar arteries. Is there anything more we'd like to take off your mind? Anyone? You got it.
little pond parks right there. Some of them. Oh, you got it. Look at this. On this one, you actually have one that's pretty recognized. There. See this? Yes? No? There's a little dot. That was odd. Anybody over there? Yes? All right, so it's called the posterior superior alveolar nerve. What is the type of neuron contained within the posterior superior alveolar nerve? I just want to check on the people's superior. You know, you know what you're talking about? Yes. Anybody else? All right. Somatic sensory. Everything from the trigeminal somatic sensory. You get a maxillary sinus infection, you are miserable.
I can attest to this. Maxillary sinus infections make you miserable. And the reason is because of the fact that the acute sensation, the sinuses are innervated for no reason whatsoever. They're innervated with precise sensation. So it's precise pain. All right, look, so that's posterior superior alveoli. You're going to identify it for me on the foramen, on the praxial. This is the hardest one to identify. Look at this. Go look at the external auditory meatus. Look. This is the petrotympanic fissure. Go look at the external auditory meatus, yeah? You know what I'm talking about from the base of the skull. Is there a crack? There should be a crack running across right here. Look at this. You see the external auditory meatus? Can you see a crack that's running right there? Yes? Now look at the crack relatively. This is going to be the opening for the chorda tympani. This is the best picture I got of it. Look at this. Here is the external auditory meatus. Here is the crack, and there looks like there's a little wedge of bone inside of the crack. Just follow that, and if you look at this crack, in some cases what you can find is that there looks like there's a little opening or enough of a thing. And this opening, the crack here, is called the petrotympanic fissure. You know what I'm talking about? This one I want to show you. You got to make sure that you see this, because this is going to be how it will be identified on the practical. It's the petrotympanic fissure is what it's called, and it's the opening for it. Two things. You know what the two things are? The chorda tympani, yeah? You got one? Yes. Yes. It's the chorda tympani and the anterior tympanic artery. Got it? Yes? This is your last chance before you leave. Got it?
We tried really hard.
That artery is also
And the two things that it passes through there are the chorda tympani and the anterior tympanic artery. The chorda tympani comes out. The anterior tympanic artery goes in and supplies the middle ear. Is this all right? Yes? Thank you. Okay, the last ones. And then we're done. Probably if I get through this, I'll go through it all again if you want to. Go back to the palate. Can you find, stick your pipe cleaner through the incisive foramen right here. You see this? Where the incisive foramen is. If you go and get it into the incisive foramen, what it will look like is it sticks up straight from the anterior part of the palate And then if you don't push it too hard, you will end up in the nasal cavity, actually. Don't push it if it won't go. This is called the incisive foramen, and the things that pass through it are called the nasopalatine nerve from V2 and the spinopalatine artery from the maxillary artery. So nasopalatine, all of the palate is V2. All of the palate, all the innervation, sensory innervation of the palate is V2. Yeah, the nasal cavity is V1 and V2, but all the palate is just V2 branches. And it's called the nasopalatine nerve, and it actually comes from a branch that goes first into the nasal cavity and then drops down to the palate through the incisive foramen. Can you remember something that I said about the development? The incisive foramen is a landmark. And it's a landmark because that's the point in which you distinguish an anterior cleft palate from a posterior cleft palate. Remember this? The posterior cleft palate is behind here. It's the maxillary processes from both sides. And that's it, where they meet is actually at the incisive foramen. Go look at the handout. I'm sorry, I told you this yesterday, so it's really unfair to be going through it. But on the other hand, it's my last digs for you. Okay, so it's the incisive foramen. Now, come out laterally, follow the teeth down, and as you go out laterally, on each side, there's gonna be a big foramen and a little foramen behind that. Look, and go put the pipe cleaner through this one if it'll go, the big one. So you go all the way back to the last maxillary teeth and you come back here. And if you are virtuous and it will go all the way through, and your pipe cleaner will look like this. Look at this. Your pipe cleaner will end up in the slit in the pterygopalatine fossa. Right? Yes? Okay, this only happens if you are virtuous and pure of heart. Might work, so that rule doesn't always apply. All right, look. This is called, what they're called is the greater palatine nerve, and that's what goes through the anterior opening. It's called the greater palatine foramen. And the little nerve that comes out of it, but the little foramen behind it is called the lesser palatine foramen. So the big one is called the greater palatine, the small one is called the lesser palatine, and there's ones on each side. This is also branches from V2, and what I just showed you was that V2, remember, comes out the foramen rotundum, and it ends up in this crazy little space that's called the pterygopalatine fossa. If you go stick the pipe cleaner in through the greater palatine foramen, where you end up is following the distribution of the nerves from V2. So this is that leads to the pterygopalatine fossa right here. Yes? So you're following all the branches of V2, and that's how they get there. Okay? All right, so it's called the greater palatine foramen. And this is actually how the nerves are going to get distributed. V2 comes out, and this is actually the location of the pterygopalatine fossa. The nerves are going to come out, and they go through the greater and lesser palatine foramen, and also branches go through the nasal cavity and end up at the incisive foramen. The pterygopalatine ganglion, by the way, is located right here, and it hitchhikes with the branches of 7-2. So remember that 7 is the nerve to the mucous glands and the nose and the palate. Yeah? This is another collection of hitchhiking fibers, but I didn't have a chance to go through it. So look, in any case, this is the path of V2. That's the greater palatine frame and actually leads to the pterygopalatine fossa. And that's also the way the arteries come out too. All right, this is the last foramen, and I'm pretty sure this is it. Hold on. Yeah. Go look, this is a trick. What I want you to do is I want you to go out laterally. Do you know where this slit that I'm talking, I gotta go all the way back now, hold on. Do you know where the slit that I'm talking about is called the tergo? There, go through this pterygomaxillary fissure and go into the pterygopalatine fossa right here. So I want you to take your pipe cleaner and stick it in, and then see if you can get it to come out in the nasal cavity. Let me see if I got the picture. Yeah, look at this. Okay, so you're going to, pipe cleaner is going to go into the pterygomaxillary fissure. Hold on a minute. Look, you see this? Go to the tooth diagram here. The pterygomaxillary fissure is the slit, yeah? Right here? Now, what you're going to do is take your pipe cleaner and push it in through this pterygomaxillary fissure and go see if you can get the pipe cleaner to go into the nasal cavity straight through. And I can do it. Let's see. I can tell where Amy is anywhere in the room. Sorry. So where your pipe cleaner will end up here is this right here. Look at this. So on the practical, what this will look like is the pipe cleaner will be passing into the nasal cavity, and you can see it from the posterior side. By the way, if you want to see this foramen, it's in the wall of the nasal cavity. If you want to see this foramen very clearly, it'll look like this on the practical. It will look like you're going to be seeing it from the posterior side, like this, and it will just look like this picture right here. So it will be a pipe cleaner with it sticking into the nasal cavity, and what it's called is the sphenopalatine foramen. And that is how it's a major artery to the nasal cavity. It's called the sphenopalatine artery, which is from the maxillary artery, and the major sensory nerve, which is called the nasopalatine nerve, which is from V2. So all these branches that are coming from this complexity are all V2 branches. Okay? All right, I'm going to go back. Do you mind? I will just continue on, and then we'll be done. All right, if you give me about 5 or 8 more minutes, okay? Rather than taking a break and doing it all over again. All right, what I want to do is just go through the foramina, and particularly the new foramina, but I want to go take a look at the ones that I want you to know. Just make sure, okay, now, all the new views are from the bottom here. So the first one is go find the lateral pterygoid plate and go follow it out and go find me foramen ovale from this side. Look, please do this for me, okay? Go look at the lateral pterygoid plate, find foramen ovale. That's what it will look like. What goes through foramen ovale is V3 in the accessory meningeal artery. Next to that is the little opening, and that's going to be what foramen spinosum looks like. And when you go look at the postsections, by the way, the middle meningeal artery will look like it's just right behind where it is all these branches of V3 are. So I'll go through it in the review sessions, but okay, so that's foramen ovale and foramen spinosum from this side. Next, would you know the carotid canal? Yes, it looks very round, it looks almost perfectly round or oval shaped, and it just looks like it disappears and then goes anteriorly like that, and that's for the internal carotid artery and the sympathetic plexus around the artery. If you can't figure these out, come up and see me because I will go and show you. Next, go find the styloid process and the mastoid process. Go straight in between the two of them, and you have the pipe cleaner coming out. You know how you'll be able to tell it's right in front of the mastoid process, a little medial to it. Go look for the mastoid process. The pipe cleaner is going to look like it's sticking straight up at you. And that's the stylomastoid foramen, which is for the facial nerve. Yes? Okay. Now, go back to the jugular foramen, which is just like behind the carotid canal. All you got to do is remember what's in the carotid sheath. It's the internal carotid artery and the internal jugular vein. The two of them are together. So the carotid canal is just right in front of the jugular foramen. People get this wrong on the practical, and I'm trying to figure out a way that you will not get this wrong, okay? Yes?
What do you call the carotid canal?
Okay, so the opening on this side is called the carotid canal. Now, you look at the bone, because you see it's actually turning right here, and it's actually a canal. So if this here is turning and going anteriorly, look at the pipeline, which is really a canal. And the canal opens on the other side to the foramen lacerum. Okay? When you come up through that side, you look at the pipe cleaner, and that's the opening of the carotid canal on the inside is called the foramen lacerum. Okay? You could, it sounds like I'm, you know, talking some foreign language, so you're going to hear this, to these terms, and throughout neuro, you'll actually come across this all the time. All right? So the jugular foramen, you know, is 9, 10, 11. You already know this by heart, I hope. And the last thing, if people get this wrong, is the hypoglossal canal. I just look for the occipital condyles here, and you're coming out right. Go, just do it for me, will you? Please put the pipe cleaner in the hypoglossal canal so you can say that you saw it. From this side, it looks like it's right underneath the occipital condyles. Yes? Okay, thank you. Next. Go look on the inside here. If you look at the small little dots on the back of the maxillary bone here, these are called the posterior superior alveolar foramina. And the posterior superior alveolar foramen are for the nerve, which is a branch of V2, and it's called superior alveolar because it's the upper teeth, alveolar because it's the teeth, posterior superior alveolar because it's the posterior upper teeth. Yes? And it's a branch of V2, and so it's a precise sensation. It's the trigeminal nerve, and what it is that's the why it is that toothaches are as intense as they are. Why it is that you feel acute pain when you feel toothaches is because it's a trigeminal nerve. It's not a visceral sensation. Is that all right? Okay. So that's the posterior superior alveolar foramina. Then come back and look for this wedge of bone, and you gotta just look. I look anterior to the opening, the external auditory meatus. There's a little wedge of bone in a crack right here, and that crack is called the petrotympanic fissure, and that is where the chord of tympani will come out. And the chord of tympani is the branch of 7 that contains the taste drivers to the anterior 2/3 of the tongue, and the parasympathetics to the submandibular and sublingual salivary glands. And the fibers hitchhike with the lingual nerve. Okay? And that's the petrotympanic fissure. And then there's a series of foramina for the palate. Look, it's incisive foramen. Go put the pipe cleaner through it so I know that you know where it is, please. You know where the incisive foramen is? Yes? Okay, and then you go back, and that's the incisive foramen for the mesopalatine nerve and the sphenopalatine artery. Laterally, you have the greater palatine foramen, and behind that, the lesser palatine foramen, and those are also for nerve branches of V2. And the last one, as you come across here, is this trick. You put the pipe cleaner in from the lateral side, and what you see is if you can get it into the nasal cavity, that is called the sphenopalatine foramen, and it's for the sphenopalatine artery and the nasopalatine nerve. Okay? I apologize because I've been telling you all this stuff for only 2 days, so this is really unfair, but the advantage is that I am now done. So I have now gotten you everything that you need for the next exam, yeah? I'm going to go back over this on Tuesday. As far as, I will go through probably cross-section pictures in the review then. But in the meantime, you can focus on neural now, all right? But please keep in mind that the practical exam, including the questions about the skull, is a week from Friday, all right? So just leave yourself enough time to look at the cross-section. Sorry for keeping you, but thank you so much.